Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty here on 96.5 The Fan. It is an anniversary of what was 10 years ago, which was the wild card game against the A's. You probably remember where you were. I had the TV off in the seventh inning. I swear.
Did you?
I am a man of honesty. I couldn't take it. I was like, as soon as Giordano gave up that home run, I said, that's it.
I'm out.
I said, it's 7-3. Now, to be fair, my phone was on.
Yeah.
And the scores were up. And then about, 30 minutes later, I get a, you might want to wake up. And I'm like, I am up. I'll be right out. And it was all of our roommates in the middle of the living room just going absolutely ape blank. Yeah. You know what?
It was crazy, man. It was a wild night. Like, we were at the game. And it was like, it was just like trying to put together the show for the next day. And I keep telling the story how many times the entire slate was just wiped out. You know, you went from, okay, this is kind of fun. We're in the playoffs. Okay, they're blowing this one. Oh my God, fire Ned. Oh my God, hire Ned. Oh my God, fire Ned. Like, it was just the range of emotion for everybody in that game was wild. And we asked Ryan LaFever, who was behind the mic for that iconic call, what his emotion was like behind the mic that night.
There were some good baseball moments, and there were some personal moments in there too. And you mentioned, Ned being fired. And Bob, I remember, I think Ron Gardenhire had just been let go by the Minnesota Twins. And in all my years at Kauffman Stadium, I can tell you I have never, ever heard somebody get booed there like Ned Yost did when he went to get Giordano Ventura. And we all wondered, why was Giordano Ventura in the game in the first place? And he gives up the home run to Brandon Moss. He finally goes and gets Kelvin Herrera. And when Ned walked off of the mound, and we're thinking, man, this game is lost because Giordano Ventura was pitching out of the bullpen. What's going on? I remember thinking, like, can Dayton bring him back next year after all of this? And all of a sudden my phone starts blowing up with text messages. Ron Gardenhire, line one. Ron Gardenhire, line two. Like, it just seemed like a moment that he might not be able to survive. And of course, it turned out just great. But yeah, there were the baseball moments, and then there were the moments of, how's Dayton going to handle this tomorrow? What's Ned going to say after the game? So I do remember that part of it very well.
I want to keep going through that with the non-baseball moments, because with this whole thing that we're doing, we're hearing from players that were there, from other, executives as well. But I want to hear from Ryan LaFever's point of view, because I imagine this was a dream scenario for you to see this from a booth and be around the game your whole life. What do you do when it's just you, the steering wheel, and a cloud and a sky full of stars on your way home after a game like that?
I don't remember the drive home. I can tell you that. Other than just soaking in what had just happened. And actually, I didn't drive home. We came to the ballpark with a suitcase, not knowing if we were going home after the game or if we were going to fly to Anaheim. So it ended up being a long game. It was a late game. And then with all the celebrations and with all the post-game stuff, I mean, I don't think we departed until like 1 in the morning. So I do remember just taking it all in and what did I just see? And but what really stuck with me was just the reaction of the crowd and how important it was to Kansas City. And as fate would have it, Salvi's hit was in the 12th inning. And going back to Denny and Buddy Blattner, they've always alternated extra innings on the radio, that whoever is the lead announcer calls the ninth, and then the number two announcer the 10th, the lead announcer the 11th, and this game ended in the 12th inning. And I never really thought much about the call, to be honest. It was just taking in everything that had happened. It was just like, let's see, so 2014 would have been my, 16th year with the Royals. And so it was just all of those 100 lost seasons, all of those good players that we weren't able to keep, and they moved on and they had big years in other places. Like, it just all came together that one night. And the goal, obviously, was to go further than the wild card game, but it was just so fulfilling to see Kansas City celebrating the way that they were and the players celebrating the way that they were, that it's a very numb feeling. Even getting on the plane and people getting on the plane with their families in the middle of the night and we're going out to Southern California. It was surreal.
That's Ryan Lefever recounting his memories of the wild card game 10 years ago. You can check out the entire interview with Ryan Lefever on our podcast page on the Odyssey app. The full interview with Ned, with Ryan, with Gene Watson, Pedro Grifol, Christian Colon, Josh Willingham, Dayton Moore. All of those interviews can be found on our podcast page on the Odyssey app under Fesco and Dusty, and listen to all those guys who are right in that moment kind of recount everything that went on in that wild card game, the greatest baseball game we ever did see here in Kansas City, maybe one of the greatest baseball games of all time.
It's definitely up there. I mean, for me, it's the outside.
It's the best sporting event I've ever been to.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't there. I was just, in fact, I think I had just gotten information that I was going to get an internship here.
Oh, very good.
The inspector had emailed me and said, hey, things are a little crazy right now, but we'll get you in here in the next couple of days and talk to you.
Right.
And then the 15 run, I had just gotten hired. And obviously we were together for that parade then. But I can still remember very vividly many, many things of that evening. Probably the most sober I've ever been for a sporting event in that sort of level.
Yeah.
Right. Cause you know, I went into it. I was like, I haven't seen this before in my life. Mm-hmm. I've never seen playoff baseball. You know, I always told people like, what happens first, a Chiefs Super Bowl or Royals World Series?
Right. That was a great age old topic, right?
Unanimously my entire life. It was Chiefs Super Bowl.
Yeah,
Chiefs
absolutely.
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And the Royals World Series happened first, and Royals playoff game that I actually saw win in a playoff game, you know, actually happened. I mean, I know that the Chiefs had beaten Houston, but like this one just felt different. It was, you know, so much relief, so much like emotion. I'd spent my whole life being a Royals fan and then to finally see them win. And I like Lefever, what he talks about, how he says, you know, I don't know what, you know, really remember after that game, because if you remember now, you get best of three.
Right.
I'm not sure the Royals have that run they have if they don't play the next day, like less than 24 hours later, have to fly to Los Angeles, land at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and then go play a baseball game.
Right.
Like they were still riding the high of winning that emotional, dramatic game against the Athletics. And, you know, they have a couple days off, or they play a best of three. Maybe Oakland comes back the next night and then, you know, loses, but maybe they come back and win. And then all of a sudden you got to play a three game series and your team's different. Your pitching matchups are different. Royals won that game, went straight into L.A., sweep, went to play back home, Baltimore, sweep.
Yeah, the L.A. thing is so interesting because nobody really remembers it because of what happened with the wild card game, fly all night, do the workout day, play a Friday, Saturday, Sunday series, and then all of a sudden that's over before you even remember, and then it's back for the ALCS against Baltimore, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, or I guess it wasn't Friday, Saturday, so I guess it was Friday, Saturday, off Sunday, played here Monday, and then Baltimore came to town, and you took care of them, and before you know it, we're 8-0 in the playoffs. Oh, my God. So that's why I kind of relate this year a lot to what we saw in 2014, because again, going into that game, the expectation level was very small for the Royals. And I was talking with somebody in the Chiefs organization over the weekend, and they were saying like they're having these conversations about the Royals right now over at Arrowhead, like telling the folks who weren't here in 14 and 15 what it was like and what they're about to experience and what to kind of get ready for from a city standpoint, because I know for a fact, and I heard it over the weekend again, that Royals run in 14-15 really got the Chiefs jump-started as well. They used that and went, okay, if they're going to do this and we're going to see all of this for the Chiefs, or for the Royals, we want to be part of this as well. And that kind of jump-started the Chiefs and said, all right, you know, the ball's in your court right now. And 10 years ago tonight, guys, like everything changed in the city. I still get emotional talking about it because of how big that game was, not just for the mindset of the Royals, but for the mindset of Kansas City, and how we went from a town of where everybody said, oh, it can't be done. I don't know. To all of a sudden on October 1st of 2014, everybody in this town's believing in ourselves and in our city and that we were better than everybody else. In the last decade has just been a magical run, both on the field and off the field in this town.